Those of you who have your Bibles will be following along with the reading on the screen. I want to invite your attention to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, and I want to lift up verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Want to use for a thought, living wise. Living wise. Church, the psalmist has declared in the 90th psalm, the 12th stanza, he says, so teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. In other words, we are admonished to take care of the days that we have because they are few. Amen. They are all the days that we have and will ever have. Amen. And the Bible makes it clear that it would be wise for us to make the most of our days because the truth of the matter is that we don't have days to waste. We're not privileged to have days to throw away because our days are numbered. Job declared in the 14th chapter of Job in the first verse, he says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Becomes obvious to us that we have a choice to make. We can make the most of our days or we can waste our days. And church, wasted days can never be relived or recaptured. Wasted days will leave you empty and distant from purpose and fulfillment. Wasted days will ultimately lead to wasted lives. And a life is a terrible thing. Y'all gonna help me? Yes. To waste. The question was asked of a dozen people on a television program one day. The question was raised, what is the best age of life to be alive? One little girl said, 2 months old. Because at that age, you are carried around. And you have lots of love and care. Another girl piped in and said, 3 years. When you're 3 years old, because you're not yet going to school, that you can pretty much do what you want. You can play all day. Then a little teenage boy, he jumped in and he said, 18. That's the best year. You get out of high school, you get your license, then you can take a trip to New York City. And one little girl said, no, it's 16. Because at 16, you can get your ears pierced and wear makeup. Then one man replied, he said, age 25. Because at 25, you got pep in your step. Now this man who answered the question saying 25, he was 43. And he said 25 because he found it hard now at 43 to walk up a hill. Said at 25 he used to go until midnight, but now he's asleep before 9 p.m. Then a little four-year-old girl says the best age to be alive was 29. And everyone looked at her puzzled look. They said, why you say 29? She said, because at that age you can lay around the house, sleep, and loaf most of the time. And then someone asked her, they said, well, how old is your mother? She said, 29. Someone said 40. Because at 40, you're in the prime of life and you got vitality. Then one lady said, no, it's 55. Because you're over your responsibility of raising children and can enjoy life and grandchildren. I need to talk to her. That ain't true. And then one man said 65, because after that, you can enjoy retirement. And then the last person was an elderly woman. And she said, no. She said, all ages are good. So enjoy the age you are now. Church, now is the time to make the most of your life. Yes, now is the time to press towards your goals, your dreams, and aspiration. Now is the time, because we don't have time to waste. We don't have time to mess around. Stop putting off the day and waiting for tomorrow, because tomorrow may not come. Tomorrow is not promised. We witnessed last month a flood that wreak havoc in our land. And there is no doubt there are folk who, before visited by this catastrophe, thought the next day would be like the day before. Amen. And now they have to deal with the fact they should have done what they didn't do. Church, we don't know when moments of bad weather will come and occur in our lives, unexpectedly, unplanned invasions of inconvenience, calamities, catastrophes, trials, and tribulations. But when you live in the now, not in the yesterday, not in the tomorrow of life, you will be living in the time that is truly yours. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 and 34, he says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for the day. All we have is now. Somebody say now. Now. This is the urgency that the Apostle Paul is displaying as he informs the believers at Ephesus to be careful how you live. Amen. Paul makes the distinction that there are two types of lifestyles, wise and unwise. And he amends this urgent message with the need for the believer to make the most of the time, because the days are evil. Paul cuts through the chase and ultimately tells the believer it's time to straighten up and fly right, because time is of the essence and the days are evil. Be careful how you live. You don't have days to waste, because all you have is now. Be careful how you live, because you don't have the luxury to live in a harmonious environment, but you live in a hostile environment because the days are evil. Be careful how you live. The distinctive lifestyles that Paul holds up are living wise and living unwise. So the question is, what is unwise living? Church, unwise living is living your life without knowing God. Or you know God, but you deny God by the way you live. It is unwise to live the life not knowing God, not giving your life to Christ and receiving the gift of salvation. It is unwise to think that you woke yourself up this morning. It's unwise to believe that you made your way and that your life is your own. You've been bought with a price. You can't live any kind of raggedy life without consequences. Life is choice driven. And every choice has a voice of consequences. Now, let me park a minute and say a word about this past week's event concerning the student and the SRO at Spring Valley High School. First of all, it was awful. I stand in agreement with the sheriff's decision to fire the SRO. However, we must always seek balance in every situation. So young people, well, my young people, hear me, young people. If at any time you feel like you're being mistreated, regardless of that, hear me, you must always respect authority and obey authority. If they are not doing you bodily harm, you obey. Then do like I used to do. You run home and tell your mama and your daddy. You got to let parents or another adult handle adult issues. I'm old school. I believe children should always respect their elders. Always. Because teachers have it tough enough. We have a generation, and we have raised a generation that has lost the valuable compass of always respecting your elders. Because if you don't, you are hurting yourself. That's right. And parents, don't go running up to that school acting a fool. You don't go to the PTO meeting. You don't go to the recitals. You don't show up for nothing. Your nails are done and your hair's fixed. You see about that, but you can't see about that child's education. Now, I know this young girl has some issues. But church, Be careful. Be careful. Now, I'm new around here, and let me just be clear. No child in this church will disrespect me. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if they do, I'm going to jack them up. Me and you just going to fall out later on, but I'm going to jack them up. Church, it is unwise to spend your life chasing after symbols of success and possessions that will soon pass away. It's unwise to have a title and don't have a testimony. It's unwise to chase after things that, and you don't have a relationship with God who made everything. That's unwise living. Paul was also aware that just because you know God, you will not always live godly. Specifically to the believers, Paul says, be careful how you live. The truth is, there should be clear distinction between believers and non-believers, simply by the way we live. You can't profess righteousness and live raggedy. You can't be the eye of the storm when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You can't pray only in tough times, come to church only when things are not going well, love only people who love you and have compassion for your clique and your family and love those you don't like. You can't grow in faith if you're not committed to the word.
That's right.
And you can't overcome the evil days if you're not equipped with the whole armor of God.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Be careful how you live. Can't be in church today and the world tomorrow, straddling the fence. Jesus told the church at Laodicea, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm, I'll spit you out my mouth. The days are too few to be wasted with unwise living. However, Paul tells us that there is the option of living wise. And that is the only choice we have. If we are truly going to have life that brings fulfillment, contentment, and wholeness. So what is wise living? Paul gives us 3 points to help us understand what is wise living. The first point is, living wise understands the will of God. Church, we will never understand God because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Since God's ways and thoughts are higher than our thoughts, we can't truly understand God, but we are called to trust God even when we don't understand God, and we trust God by faith. God reveals himself to us through his word. And the word of God contains the will of God. And if you're going to trust God, God we can't see by faith, we must become at one with his word. We know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can only trust God to the degree or the level of your faith. And your faith will only go as far as the word of God that you possess in your heart. In other words, your faith is limited to the level you understand and possess God's word. I didn't say know the word, but understand. And there's a difference. You can know a bulldozer when you see it, but it is no benefit to you unless you understand how to operate it. That's how God's word is. It is no benefit to you if you don't know how to operate the word, apply it, live it in your personal life. Proverbs 4 and 7 tells us, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. And then Proverbs 20 and 5 tells us, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. When you know the will of God, you can access a well of knowledge, but it is only when you understand the word, which is the will of God, you can draw out of that well and get the benefit of that word. Wise living understands God's will for your life so that you can benefit from the promises of God. The second thing that Paul makes is that wise living is a spirit-filled life. Paul warns them against one form of intoxication and encourages them to pursue another. He said, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The intoxication with wine is symbolic of folk tying their sense of joy, their sense of fulfillment and peace to worldly possessions. They are happy and never satisfied until they have the right stuff in their possession, never realizing that the things of this world can never satisfy the heart, because the more you get, the more you want. So they are drunk, chasing a temporary thrill. But church, what do you do when the thrill is gone? This is why being spirit-filled is so important, because you are inspired beyond temporary things. Your mind is set on things eternal. When you no longer make decisions by what you feel or take the way of worldly people, but your mind is inspired. Your vision is clear because the Spirit is ordering your steps. So, church, you better be careful how you forsake a faithful God for the things of this world. Because God is faithful. Because what matters most is not what television we watch, but what matters most are the eyes that are watching over us. What matters most is not what we buy. What matters most is the one who bought us. It's not what we possess, but who possesses us. Yeah. Not what we drive, but who drives us. Yeah. It's not where we live, yeah, Lord have mercy, but who lives in us. Hallelujah. It's not what we own, but who owns us. Yeah. It's not our dress, but our deliverance. Yeah. Not our success, but our salvation. Is there anybody here got a testimony to say, all to Jesus, I surrender, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. So you got to live a life spirit filled. Then finally, Paul says that living wise gives thanks to God all the time for everything. Somebody say everything. We must possess a spirit of gratitude. because of the goodness of God. And we got to thank God all the time for everything. We need to thank God for what we have. We may not have all we want, but we ought to be grateful with what we have. We need to thank God for good days and bad days. Thank him for our ups and thank him for our downs. We need to thank God for our trials and our tribulations, because in the tough times, if you praise him, how many of you know God will show up? Oh, God is waiting to see if you can bless him at all times. You see, it's easy to praise the Lord when everything is going good. It's easy to praise the Lord when your health is real good. It's easy to praise God when your bills are paid and you got money in the bank. But I wonder in here, do I have somebody who can praise God when your money is funny and your change is strange? Is there anybody here who can praise God when you're on your sick bed, when pain is wrecking your body? Is there anybody here who can bless the Lord? Bless the Lord at all times. I'll praise him when I'm up. I'll praise him when I'm down. You see, if you bless God, won't God, won't God, won't God step in right in the nick of time? I call on the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Long, long as I live and trouble ride, I got a place to go. I'll go to the Lord. Father, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Is there anybody here got a praise, an unconditional praise, that say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah in a house? Hallelujah. Anyhow.